Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus says, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. And he sat the disciples down, saying, if anyone would be first, he must be last and servant of all. And having taken the child in his arms, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we talk about greatness in the kingdom of God as compared to greatness in the kingdoms of this world. You know how the world defines greatness. The world defines greatness in these ways. You're wealthy, you're famous, you're powerful, everyone bows down to you. The goal of life is for everyone to satisfy your desires and wishes above all. This is greatness in the kingdoms of the world. But our Lord Jesus Christ teaches what greatness is in the kingdom of God. Greatness in the kingdom of God is being a servant of all, humbling yourselves to work hard. Why? Because the focus of your life is faith in God and love for your neighbor. So, we want to be great in God's kingdom, and we do not want to be defined by the kingdoms of this world. So if we're going to talk about greatness in the kingdom of God, the first person we must talk about, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the child of Mary, the suffering servant who made himself last for us. And after we look at Jesus, who became last for us, we will understand what it means that we are called to be humble servants and receive the children in the name of Christ. Jesus, the Son of Man, the greatest servant of all. Jesus is passing through Galilee up north by the Sea of Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know where he was. The crowds had begun to treat Jesus as a miracle worker and a bread king. So he took his disciples aside because he wanted them to know his real purpose, the real purpose for which he came. And he explains it to them. The Son of Man, that is Jesus, is going to be delivered into the hands of men and they will kill him. They would spit on him, crown him in thorns, crucify him. But after 3 days, he will rise again. At this time, the disciples did not yet understand. Way before the events happened, and they were afraid to ask, and they could not fathom that their Lord would die this way. When Jesus describes his passion and his suffering, he's describing Palm Sunday and Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. Because this is what Jesus is really all about. Jesus is the second Adam who has come to undo the curse that came upon mankind through the first Adam. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and the world was cursed, and sin has plagued mankind ever since, because we're born with original sin in our hearts, the only way to undo this curse was for the seed of the woman, which was promised in Genesis 3:15, who would come to crush the head of the devil. By dying, he destroyed death. Jesus is the second Adam. He kept the law perfectly for us in our place, and he died upon the cross, bearing the punishment that we deserved. All we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his stripes we are healed. That is why Jesus came. And that shows that he's the greatest servant of all, who is both Son of God and Son of Man. You know the identity of Jesus. He's called the Son of God because he was Son of God in eternity, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Yet for us and our salvation, he took on human flesh in the womb of Mary. He is also the Son of Man. He is the wisdom that's come down from above. Jesus is the one who's pure and peaceful, and gentle and reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, sincerity, and brings the peaceful harvest of righteousness because he is our righteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Look at the entire life of Christ. His life was a life of making himself last for us. He washed the disciples' feet. He brought the children to hear God's word. He was one who reached out to those who were rejected. He came for sinners. And so if you're a sinner, Jesus came for you. The reason we confess our sins at the beginning of the service and hear absolution and forgiveness is to assure us that Jesus, the Son of Man, humbled himself to death, even to death on the cross, and in his glorious resurrection assures you your sins are forgiven. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, and you will be saved and have the gift of eternal life. My friends, that is why Jesus came as the Son of Man. If that is why Jesus came, how does he enable us to be first by making ourselves last and by being a servant? After Jesus explains who he is as the Son of Man, he continues to the beautiful city of Capernaum in a house right by the lake. And when they were walking along the way, he had overheard the disciples arguing. And they didn't say anything when he asked them what they're discussing because they were ashamed. They were arguing about who was the greatest. Can you imagine that conversation? Peter saying to Matthew, "I'm greater than you. He called me the rock." And Matthew said, "Well, I'm greater than you. I left everything behind for him." And then John said, "Well, I'm greater than you because I left all the fish behind to follow him." And on, the absurdity went on. So Jesus sits them all down, all 12. You need to know something in the New Testament. When Jesus sits down, that's kind of like me being in the pulpit. He sits down, and that means we're supposed to sit or stand and listen to exactly what he's now about to say. So Jesus sits them down and says something radical. If you want to be first, you should be last. If you want to be great, you must be a servant of all. The word of Christ has completely transformed this world. The world does not understand this, but Christians do. The point of life is not for everybody to wait on you. The point of life is for you to serve your neighbor. The point of life is not for you to go around and boast about yourself, but in utter humility say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and help me to love my neighbor in any way that I can." And then you will truly understand being great by being a servant. You know, our old Adam, our sinful nature, doesn't like to hear this. The old Adam, the sinful nature, really likes to boast about itself and really likes to be filled with pride. But the new man, created in righteousness and the Holy Spirit, wants to live this way. So you have this battle every day. The old Adam, under the law, is filled with bitterness and jealousy and selfish ambition, boasting, speaking falsehood, falling into unspiritual demonic activity, discord, vile practices, quarrels, fighting, passions, coveting, on and on it goes, trying to be friends with the world and becoming an enemy of God. But the new man in Christ, created through Christ Jesus, wants to live in wisdom and understanding, the good conduct of meekness, living in the wisdom that comes to us from above, judging things rightly. You want to be a friend of God, not of this world, because by his grace, his Spirit dwells in you. Look for ways this week, because you were connected to Christ Jesus in your baptism, to be a servant, to come in utter humility, and then you will see the real purpose of your life is to show love and mercy to anyone in need, as Jesus Christ has shown love and mercy to you. And then the last thing Jesus talks about is that not only do we come to God and others in humility, we are called to receive the children in Jesus' name, to be childlike ourselves. Jesus now gives the ultimate sermon illustration, one of the favorite pictures in the New Testament. With all these rough and tumble disciples, he brings a little child, a little boy, and we know from the Greek text it was a child probably around preschool or kindergarten, and Jesus has this little boy sitting in his lap with all the disciples around him. And to their astonishment, he says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And if you receive me, you receive the Father, the one who sent me." This is astonishing. This shows us that Christ is the head of the church and we are his body. And so when we serve Jesus, we serve our neighbor. When we serve our neighbor, we serve Jesus. This child receiving this child in Jesus' name means this. Every time we baptize a baby, a child, an adult, God's name, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is placed upon them. In holy baptism, we are children of God, and we have his name placed upon our forehead and upon our heart. When we receive children in Jesus' name, in the power and the preaching of the gospel, amazingly, we're receiving Jesus himself. And if you receive Jesus, you receive the Father who is in heaven. This astonishing message has transformed the world, because the church is all about the children. The reason we have Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, Trinity Lutheran School, and childcare is we believe these words. We receive the children in Jesus' name. And amazingly, in so doing, we receive Christ and receive the word of his Father through him. This is powerful. Now, the old Adam, which wants to be filled with pride, doesn't want to be like a child and isn't all that interested in the children. That's why James says we need to cleanse our hands as sinners. We need to purify our hearts and stop being double-minded. We need to mourn and weep over our sins. We take our sins seriously and we mourn and we weep over them. But with a childlike faith in the gospel, God gives grace to those who humble themselves. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. With the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, you can do battle against the devil. And through faith in Jesus Christ, you draw near to God, and he draws near to you. He hears your prayers. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. In conclusion, the reason why Jesus came as the Son of Man, because we had eaten from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil and brought sin into the world, Jesus would allow himself to be crucified on the tree of the cross, so that through faith in his name, we can eat from the tree of life in paradise, in heaven. That is why Jesus came, to give that eternal life to you. In the living out of our lives, rather than arguing with one another about who is the greatest, we are instead called to serve one another in acts of love. Crucified and risen Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, made himself the lowest by dying the death we deserved on the cross. And through faith in his name, we now are accounted righteous. The righteousness of Christ is credited to our account. And we rejoice in being last and being servant and receiving the children in God's name. One of the wonderful things about being a Christian is that we are not serving others and we are not living humble lives in order to be great. No, the joy comes in the service. The joy comes in the humility, because being great in God's kingdom through Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, means humbling ourselves so God would exalt us and becoming the last so that we can be first through faith in Christ Jesus. To him alone be all glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.